When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Well, my Royals won another series. How about that? Let's go Royals.
Never fails.
Never fails.
Yeah.
I just about dropped my water cup listening to the broadcast because Salvador Perez was at bat and started talking about a current streak that he was on. And I was shocked because at the time, I'll just repeat what was said on the broadcast just moments ago. And that was Salvador Perez was on a 33 at-bat streak without a strikeout.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something.
Caught that last night, actually, after we were done with the immediate coverage on air here, and it was at 29 at-bats at that point. And I'm like, we talking about Salvi?
Yeah. Those are impressive numbers for anybody, let alone Salvi.
His last strikeout was on Sunday, April 21st, against Baltimore.
I was like, I'm going to laugh. It's going to be an Orioles game.
That was 11 games ago.
Amen. He's hot. He's hot at the right time.
Salvi, strikeout to walk. He has 13 strikeouts, 10 walks this year.
He's batting .340 as of a couple of days ago.
His average is now up to .368.
Yeah, he was .340 the day that he sat out because of his back, Monday.
Good Lord.
And he was also hit on, I think he was hit on the hand.
Yeah.
Was it on the hand earlier today?
Yes.
And
so the on-base streak is now over 20 games.
Dang, Salvi. You're supposed to be washed up at this point. Yeah. You're about to turn 34 years old.
As a catcher.
You're a catcher. You're going to have some bad knees. Your career is supposed to be winding down. No, he's just going to go and play his best baseball.
Yeah, better
with age.
33
years old.
Better with age.
Yeah, you don't have to run the bases if you just hit the ball over the fence. So, I mean, he's been living that for a while. But batting average coming up, too? Yeah. They're a hard team to beat when he's on. They're so difficult.
They just need MJ Melendez to start hitting a little bit and help that offense out. But Michael Massey coming in is
hit a home run today.
A boost. Yeah. Well, he's hit a home run now twice over. He hit one last night, too.
Oh, how about that?
So
Renfro's been a stud and also just making people look silly at second base, cutting them down every time they try to run on him.
Seth Lugo is nuts.
Yeah, I remember when they picked him up, I was like, man, if he just keeps the ball in the park, they're going to be good. And he's been better than expected.
5-1 over 7 starts, ERA under 2.
Yeah, 1.6.
Insanity.
Welcome to The Game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. We're with you till 5:30, so it's a pretty short show, obviously. As we come out of the Royals, we'll get you set for K-State baseball. They're at Nebraska tonight. And that is a first pitch just after 6 o'clock. And that means pregame will start at 5:30 here on News Radio KMAN. And, of course, we'll bring you that coverage at 5:30 sharp. So we'll take it to up until then. Obviously, yesterday's show was cut very short. We didn't even post a podcast. It was taken over by severe weather, rightfully so, because when severe weather's in the area, that is primary. That has the rights over anything. And yesterday afternoon, it got very serious. A direct hit to Westmoreland. the northwest, north central portion of Westmoreland took a direct hit. And as a result, a lot of homes just obviously torn to pieces, demolished, total loss. And hate seeing that because obviously so close to home. A lot of people that, you know, sports-wise that interact with us on Twitter, big K-State fans, I recognize through Twitter, recognize the names. Some of those people are going through a hard time right now because, you know, their house got hit. A lot of crews out there, obviously, working to, you know, it's very preliminary, of course, but working a lot of hours to try to help anybody they can in their way, from first responders, you know, across the board. There's a lot to do now for Westmoreland. Earlier today, as a matter of fact, this was just moments ago, the public information statement from the National Weather Service was released, and this is what gets sent out after a tornado does touchdown when damage is done, and they'll send this out when it comes to rating, wind speed, distance traveled by this tornado, a lot of statistics after doing their research, after doing their studying to determine these specifics. We now just got that report, and it became because it came so soon to start time into 5 o'clock, will not be mentioned at our 5 o'clock news. So I wanted to, because it was previously recorded, because our news team is doing a whole lot right now outside of the radio station. So I wanted to take this time to share that information, because I know a lot of people are wanting to know this info. So the Westmoreland tornado, the rating was an EF3. EF3 is a tornado 136 miles per hour to 165 miles per hour. The estimated wind speed was 140 miles per hour. The path length was 2.5 miles. The path width was 100 yards. Fatalities 1 and 3 were injured. The start time was 4:40 p.m. when we're talking about touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Not when it started to develop, when we had actual touchdown 1 mile west of Westmoreland. And then the end time was 4:48, 1 mile northeast of Westmoreland as it was crossing Highway 99. So a strong tornado touched down approximately 1.5 miles southwest of, this is a survey here, a survey summary rather, 1.5 miles west of Westmoreland, traveled through the city, producing significant damage to homes along a 50 to 100 yard wide path. The tornado appeared to lift as it crossed Highway 99 with little in the way of additional damage seen east of the highway. One fatality occurred in a mobile home. So again, that was an EF3 tornado. We have we had boots on the ground yesterday, of course, while we were in our supercast coverage, and we have posted a lot of pictures, obviously stories as well, about this tornado that impacted Westmoreland. Now, when it comes to today, we got a big heads up about that as well, that as categorized as a round two potentially coming today, as far as I understand, that risk is significantly weakened. And not so much this afternoon or this evening, but potentially in the middle of the overnight hours, could see a little bit of severe weather. But when it comes to, you know, it's hard to predict, you know, how heavy these things can be. But when it just comes to the risk of severe weather, it is a slight risk. So that is good news. Fingers crossed, it stays a slight risk. Nothing serious. All right. And that wraps up hour one, guys.
That was the quickest hour one of my life.
Hour two, we'll talk a little K-State basketball because, of course, the transfer portal giveth, but it will taketh away. A lot of movement right now for K-State men's basketball. We'll recap where the Cats are at right now with still a lot of work to do. Hour two of the game, a short hour two, is coming up next.
Now is my
Why do all of a sudden have the urge to start swinging a sword around? Is this because Drew McIntyre was on the Pat McAfee show today?
It wasn't, actually. I just was driving on the way in, and I was like, you know what a theme song I miss a lot? And it's this one.
This was a good one.
It was.
This was a good one. I remember this represents a much, like, big-time undercard Drew McIntyre that was not even getting on TV.
I don't know if anyone's ever had a crazier career arc, especially when you look at, like, what they look like.
I remember, God, Drew McIntyre and I had just such a moment one time. Was that at Monday Night Raw in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Mm.
And he is in the dark match to open up the show. Dark match means it's not on anything. It's just for the fans.
Yep.
He loses it on like 5 minutes, rolls out to the out of the ring to the floor, and then is just kind of sitting up 90, you know, on his backside 90 degrees and up against the guardrail. And I'm sitting front row. And he just kind of turns over, looks at me, and we lock eyes. And I say to him, dude, you need a push. And I start, like, pushing my hands out. And he stops selling the injury he has. He's like, I know! And he, like, starts freaking out.
That'd be the coolest thing.
And since then, he has been one of the top stars in the world.
Yeah. So, I would lose my mind if that happened to me.
Let's just say I encouraged Drew McIntyre to get better.
Yeah, the whole rebrand and everything, the reinvention he's had, it was Mitch. That's
short hour two of the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke with us today. K-State baseball coming up at 5:30. Cats Cornhuskers at Hawks Field at Haymarket Park. Nebraska, can we shorten up this stadium name, please? I've never been a fan of, like, you throw the field and the stadium name in one name.
No, it's been that way since the day it opened.
I don't like it.
I know.
Haymarket Park.
Yeah.
So you don't like Wichita State's field either?
Well, it's just Eck.
Was it Tyler Field
at
Eck Stadium?
It's Tyler Field at Eck Stadium.
Is that what it officially is?
It officially is.
Now it is now.
Is that a new thing you say?
No, it's over a decade.
Yeah, I was like, it's definitely been for a bit.
I've never said the whole name when I've only done one game at Wichita State, but I just said Eck.
I always do too, yeah. I've worked there a couple times, and I've always just said Eck Stadium.
Cats are 26-17. Nebraska, 27-14. This is a pretty big midweek game. Mm-hmm. Cats can pull off a victory. That's going to be a nice little boost in the RPI, I would think. Josh Wintrobe on the hill for the Cats. He's 2-2. No pitcher announced for Nebraska as of the media release by K-State. So
also as of their own release, because they played last night.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm. And lost to Creighton 9-5.
Was that at Creighton?
That was at Omaha. Mm-hmm. Played it at TD Ameritrade.
Yep. The home of the College World Series. That is I've called a couple of games there, and my depth perception is way off in that park. It's like, I don't know, sit up in the upper deck of Kauffman Stadium. You know, if you don't go to a whole lot of games, and because you always hear, like, you'll hear a pop fly on the radio call or whatever, fly ball out to left field or something, and you hear a roar. Mm. You can sometimes hear a roar in the background. It's because everybody in the upper deck sees this ball launch in the air, and by their depth perception, think that ball's a goner.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crushed.
Right.
And it gets everybody. And I will admit, at TD Ameritrade a couple of times, that got me because of the depth perception. You're really high up there. You're a lot higher than you will be at any college ballpark. And you think that ball just got crushed.
Yeah.
The way it launches, it's just the angle.
Huh.
It'll throw you off.
Yeah, that's got to be difficult to be, because you don't want to no-sell a home run, but you also don't want to tell everybody that's going deep and then it's in the middle of center field.
Well, K-State, I can't remember the game, but K-State, after I made the call, I said, look out scoreboard, you might have a new dent after a ball that was just crushed out to right field. They've been using that at the stadium, like for the middle of the first pump-up video.
Mm-hmm.
For the K-State offense.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, and that's a first for me, a call of mine being used on something like that. So now I gotta really work on the highlights, really deliver some good lines. I do want to talk a little bit of K-State basketball. It's been an interesting 3 weeks. I think 3 weeks is fair.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about portal additions, but also guys leaving. So the portal is taking away. I'm a fan of the portal and NIL. It gives you, first of all, it gives the student athletes much more of an opportunity. And an opportunity to, they have their self-value.
Right.
They have their self-worth, and they want to go get that. And I don't blame them at all for having that. Now that they have these, more opportunities on their plate, will not blame a student athlete whatsoever to try to go out there and get what they deserve. Anybody in any other job, if you're encouraging somebody, you're going to, you would say that to anybody if you believe in them. So with that being said, we've had a number of things happen over the last really week or so that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. First of all, yesterday, David Gasson makes the announcement officially that he is back for one more year. I said since that one more year chance started during senior day this past season, mm-hmm. that I'm all in on David coming back for one more year. I mean, think about it this way. This day and age, if you can have a student athlete that plays, that starts on your team for three seasons, that is going to be super rare.
Absolutely.
Super rare. It's going to be very unheard of. It already is. But even moving forward, it's going to be unheard of because of it being the Wild Wild West now,
mm-hmm.
for portal guys and with NIL being involved. Love that David Gasson is officially back. Although, and I think I hinted at this yesterday, we just didn't get to it because of severe weather, that when he put the video up on social media, the caption was, "Thank you, K-State."
Right.
I was like,
"Yeah,
is this about to be a major curveball?"
Right.
And he's actually done? Because, just from what I've heard, the whispers, he was back. And there was no doubt about that. And then there's the caption in the, the video is a little, mm-hmm. maybe try to pull a tear here and there at the beginning. Yeah, that's thrown for a little bit of a curveball. But no, he's back. Before that, Day-Day Ames enters the transfer portal. And then we find out yesterday, John Rothstein was the one that reported this, and that Arthur Kaluma has already announced declaring for the NBA draft. There's a whole process there. They can get out of that draft process by a certain date.
Correct.
And retain their eligibility. And I've always been one that said, even though the tone of that message was that he was done and never said anything about maintaining his eligibility in that message or that announcement he made on social media, I still felt that there was a good chance that he would be back. And I always considered him still on the roster when evaluating, when thinking about the numbers and how many players K-State still needs to pick up. Arthur was still there for me on the roster. Well, now he is also going to be entering his name in the transfer portal. He and Day-Day, to me, are a very big surprise. I think with those two, the plan all along, and I think you could even throw in R.J. Jones
mm-hmm.
as being surprises, as in, I would assume the coaching staff was certainly planning on them to stick around and be a part of the plan moving into this upcoming season. You just never know with the – because K-State, Tang and company, they've been very successful.
Yes.
In the portal so far. The four players they picked up, Doug McDaniel, CJ Jones, Brendan Housen, and then Bay Fall, who didn't he's more the potential category.
Right.
Former McDonald's All-American, former four-star recruit, former top 40 recruit. If he came here out of high school or after prep, he's one of the highest recruits in K-State basketball history. But he didn't really play much last year for Arkansas, 9 games, averaged like a point and a rebound, a contest.
Yeah,
just didn't get much of an opportunity.
I was really surprised at the lack of numbers and the lack of opportunities he had as a McDonald's All-American.
But guess what? He's 6'11", 200 pounds, and he's more of a stretch four than he is a five,
mm-hmm.
if you're just thinking about the position. Because he has a jump shot. He's a hell of a shot blocker.
Right.
He is not afraid to take those mid-range jumpers. And with those long legs and jumping abilities, he can make some good moves to the hoop through the air and get a bucket to go home. So it's a good pickup. K-State's done a great job. But with the names you bring in, I guess sometimes you – and this is the painful part about the portal. This is the painful part about NIL, is that with these additions, sometimes you can't predict how it's going to affect – the players that are already on your roster, especially when you got you got people on social media hooting and hollering and being pumped up about the guys that are being added and seeing a bright future for K-State. When those names are being mentioned, maybe not so much as being talked about the mix with those guys to who's already on the roster. I'm not saying that's the reason or anything. I think NIL could be a part of this as well. And so, but the thing is, I would assume the staff was expecting most of these names. Not so much Cam Carter, not so much Jarrell Colbert, but RJ Jones, Day-Day Ames, and Arthur Kaluma to be a big part of this upcoming year.
I really believe that the Day-Day Ames one is probably the one that stings the most out of that bunch because of what was invested in him in time, energy, and expectation, and the leeway that was shown him this season in going ahead and recognizing at a point that he was going to be the guy that you had to go with at point guard.
I'm sure Day-Day didn't like that the point guard that was brought in Doug McDaniel still has 2 years of eligibility.
Right.
Honestly, I think that would upset me a little bit because Day-Day became the starter. I don't remember which game it was, but I mean, for a healthy part of this, of the end of the regular season and into the NIT, Day-Day Ames was a starter. And gosh, last 5 or 6 games, he was averaging 9 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting better. He's becoming more of a leader, more of a, I wouldn't call it general, but, you know, directing the offense, being the guy to start it all. Took a pretty big step. That one hurts. For me, it's got to be Arthur Kaluma. It's just it's a big surprise. So, and it's because, first of all, would have been the best returning 3-point shooter. Would no doubt about it been a starter. Minutes, buckets, he would get them all. I mean,
what really gets me about it is now we're in a position, or now we're watching the team be in a position where it seems like every addition lands a subtraction. You add to the roster, and then another name goes into the portal. And the staff has got to feel like that they're maybe making some ground up in general, but that has got to be very frustrating.
Well, you're losing a year of progress on guys you invested in.
Exactly.
So now you're going to have to, not only are you, of course, working for the first time with already 4 guys, well, now with, for sure, well, I maybe not use the word for sure. You never know. Maybe Arthur does come back to K-State. That is an option, of course, with the portal. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going somewhere else, but it's rare that that person retains or maintains his stay at K-State or their school. Go ahead.
It's the little Dutch boy in the dike. You're plugging holes constantly. That's what it feels like right now.
So this does feel like the bummer part about the transfer portal and NIL, because we can only speculate and spitball about, you know, what was the coup de grace? Why is it? What was the final nail in the coffin of why they wanted to leave? You know, it's hard to tell. I don't know, but there are plenty of options, I suppose, to make an educated guess.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Just disappointing.
Yeah, I agree, and I think I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, you're trying to plug up one hole in the ship, 2 more pop open, and you get one hand to stretch and plug those 2 holes, and 3 more open up. Now you're using your right foot, and all of a sudden, we're 2 months into the offseason. They've added a lot of guys, and they've gotten better, but at the same time, you've lost a little bit of continuity, and that chemistry, I think, is going to be a thing that suffers a little bit, too, in that way.
Let me point this out, though. On the good side, nobody else can put themselves in the portal as of today.
Did it close today?
Yeah, I did.
There we go.
So.
All right.
So that would be why Arthur Kaluma put his name in today, as much as anything, because this was the last day that you could do it.
I think you did it yesterday.
Well,
yeah, I think it
still,
was
but you right up against the deadline.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, with the success K-State's had in recruiting so far out of the portal, you know, good news can come at any point. They've already had a ton of guys on campus that are, we would assume, is still considering K-State. I still feel like K-State is a good shot to land Baba Miller, the very athletic 5 out of Florida State. I think that'd be a great addition. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been pretty vocal about this. I want Khalif Battle.
Yeah. Right.
Agreed.
Boy, you're talking about a wing that could be a major, an impact player. Mm-hmm. An impact player, a bucket getter. He can be a machine, and he really was that final third of the regular season for Arkansas.
Is that, like, looking at all the guys they've looked at, including guys that have already committed elsewhere to other schools, where would you rank Battle as far as your wish list goes for K-State this offseason? I feel like he's one, maybe
well,
two.
Well, Cliff Amore, mention him as well. I just don't have a good guess on where he would be right now after after visiting. I don't know what K-State's odds are. And he's another big from Rutgers, who is one of the top recruits in the nation out of the transfer portal. I would say that's tough to rank, but I think Battle would be top three.
Top three, yeah.
I think he would be top three for me.
I would agree with you. Definitely top five. Probably sneaks into my top three. And, yeah, that tear at the end of the year last year was insane.
All right, we got to take a quick break before we got baseball coming up at 5:30. Maybe squeeze in a cue or two of Ask Us Anything next.
In 1350 KMAN, I got a little Ask Us Anything for you guys today. So my question today is, what is the easiest way for you to lose track of time? And I'll pull it out to your entire life. Back when you played video games way back in the day, maybe it's something now. Easiest way where you're like, oh, wow, it's been 4 hours.
That will never happen. I don't know that I could ever do anything and have it go that long.
Did it go that long? Okay. I could get lost in a video game for four
reading.
Hours.
Reading?
Reading.
Fair. A very well-done history book, especially.
Video games, mowing the lawn. I can tell you one thing that I do that I never lose track of time, and that's working.
Yeah.
I am looking at a clock.
As we speak.
12 times a minute to see how much time we have in a second, or how much time we have left in a segment, and how much time we have left until we send things off to Lincoln, Nebraska. Coming up next, it is the Batcats and the Cornhuskers. From a ballpark name that is way too long, we got the Cats for you coming up next in midweek contest against a Big Ten conference foe. Enjoy KC baseball next here on KMAN.